we're back after a week off. Did everyone miss us? Probably.
Well, they didn't miss us because we had a best of program. Not that you would know because you don't spend any time doing it, but I spend my vacation putting together an edited best of program, which included, not that you listened, our bit on whether we could beat Kentucky if they had five torn ACLs.
Right. We couldn't. We thought we'd have an advantage in transition, but otherwise would struggle.
Well, because they might keep three down on the block. They just might play 3-2.
Welcome inside the classroom, everyone. It's our final summer show. Yep. And what that means for you is nothing. But what it means for us is that starting next week, there's like a whole army of people that help us produce this thing.
Well, it might mean the quality might improve. Summer, we mail it in.
Don't set that bar. Don't set that bar there.
Are we recording, just out of curiosity? Because we are. All right.
Thank you, Mike Wallace. That's Mike Wallace, by the way. I'm Jim Brill. Dr. Keith Schroeder runs Marist College.
And who's sitting next to Mike?
It's Anna. I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name. I can kind of spell. I'm not going to try to pronounce it.
All right. You want to spell it?
You know what it sounds like? If I try to pronounce it, it's going to sound like, have you seen those videos of Donald Trump when they slow his speech down? That's what it would sound like.
Look, yes, that's what we've been talking about.
Can you spell it?
You're a tough cookie, aren't you? We've been watching Slow and Tell, which is Jimmy Kimmel's, basically takes Donald Trump's speeches and just puts them on half speed. Oh, man, they are good. I'm really rich.
This led to, and this is true, us taking old audio of the classroom and slowing it down to half speed. Turns out that's still funny, too.
By the way, I will say this. You sound slow. I sound drunk. Like, I clearly I have more of a slur.
Like when you're drunk?
This is a good radio lesson for Anna. You need to speak into the microphone.
That's right.
If you're going to speak.
Well, yes.
Yeah, it's true. You don't have to talk.
You have two options. You can continue to share that microphone with Mike Wallace and act like you're fronting a Bon Jovi show in the 80s, or you can swing around to microphone 4 and use that one.
Yes, that's also an option. So either of those work, and we'll tell you when it's enough.
Don't talk to us as you're walking further away from microphones.
So yeah, the slow and tell. So I listened to the classroom. Honestly, I will say my Thursday, I spent probably in the neighborhood of 2 hours. This was my morning. And then it was lunch, right? And so you get a late start in the summer.
Here's before we tell the people what's on the program this morning. Here's a problem I have. Anna shows up first time in the classroom this morning. Brought a gift for you, but nothing for me. Not only that, she brought you a baseball jersey.
That's right.
You hate baseball.
Not only a baseball jersey, but a baseball jersey with the name of a famous person on the back, and who's not a baseball player.
You could say the name.
Sure.
The name is Sean Kingston.
That's right. What's his big song?
Beautiful Girl.
Yes, that's right. We'll get that up. So now when you brought that in, I'm going to hang it in the center, but there's a big part of me that wanted to wear it. Now, Sean Kingston and I are not the same size.
No.
He's a big boy.
To be fair, though, Sean Kingston is not the size of that jersey.
No, he'd be squeezed. That would be like a hot dog in a...
I mean, it could be another Kingston. We never know.
We were trying to figure out if it's another Kingston. I can't think of any other famous Kingstons.
No. No, I don't. I mean, no, not that I know. Sean Kingston seems appropriate. Is he a sports fan? I feel like, you know, is he a sports guy? I don't know. What are you doing?
Mike, what are you doing?
Trying to get beautiful girls out of Sean Kingston.
All right. Well, why are you playing a YouTube ad for a horror movie?
I'm not playing the ad. YouTube is playing.
If you're going to play anything, it's going to be Donald Trump, Slow and Tell. That's it.
Jeff, you can give me a gift.
I can give you a gift.
You can get a gift.
All right, this is what happens when we let women in the show.
When you give me a job at Major League Baseball.
That was, by the way, I apologize to our listeners. That was completely uncalled for.
I don't apologize at all. You can give me a gift.
I never
say that.
You
can get a gift when you get me a job at Major
League Baseball.
That's
true.
I know Dave Hochman just as well, if not better, than Keith Strummer.
You didn't do anything, and it wasn't Dave Hochman that got her the job. It was Steve Hirocho.
It was Dave Hochman who got the gift.
It was Steve.
That gift was from Dave, yes.
But I'm sure Steve had his fingers all over it.
You think they know we're talking about them?
I'm sure they do. Speaking of that, shout out to David. David does podcast the show.
He is. He is a loyal listener of the program.
He's one.
Marist 08. We love you, Dave.
So... There's a lot
going on. By the way, if you download our podcast, ESPN The Classroom,
you can
iTunes,
also get
iTunes section, or a podcast section of iTunes, if you download our podcast, tweet us at ESPN The Classroom, we'll say your name on the air and tell you how much we love you.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So so last week, as you know.
Our love is for sale.
All right, enough. Last week,
not
as you know.
With Chris Sale.
All right, we're one person talking at a time now. and we're going to teach you some radio rules here.
How about this? How about we talk about all the program today, and then you can tell us how horrible your family vacation was. Does that sound like a deal?
Oh, that's fair.
Talk a lot about labor disputes in sports, and really almost the friction between athlete and whether it's their team or their entity that they play for, compete for, even their country. We'll talk about Faisal. I got it right. Faisal Lilesa.
Well, no, you got it right according to how we believe it's right.
Yeah. He's the Ethiopian marathon runner who finished second in the Rio Games, and as he crossed the finish line, made a political protest signal when he crossed his arms over his head.
And that was,
he's afraid he can't go home to Ethiopia.
And it was a sign that none of us, outside of those who are in the political know, maybe people involved with social activism, none of us knew what that was. And I would say around the globe, that was essentially an unknown sign. And to be quite honest, I did not know of the political unrest in Ethiopia.
Neither did I.
And so, if we are to make the argument that, you know, these political protest signs and things related to human rights are effective or not effective, I would make the argument that was a very effective moment. The world was watching, and even though, I don't know if the world was watching, it's the marathon, the Olympics, but the world became very aware of it because that got a lot of Second Life. And so it was, I think it was a very effective form of protest. Apparently his tribe in Ethiopia, the tribal region from which most distance runners hail in Ethiopia, have been largely persecuted by the Ethiopian government, a very poor nation going through a lot of political turmoil. Again, this is according to Human Rights Watch. Tens of thousands have been imprisoned. Hundreds have been killed. And so that was to create some awareness. Now, as you know, the problem with that for him, a lot of people made an analogy of this to the 1968 Black Power salute, Tommy Smith and John Carlos.
Similar, very different, because Lilesa told reporters at a press conference this week, if I go back to Ethiopia, maybe they will kill me.
That's right. I mean, Smith and Carlos went back home, and they were – reviled by much of the American public. They were rebuked by the IOC, sent home, not allowed to compete. Actually, both – I actually didn't know this. Both of them had short-lived NFL stints.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Before or after?
After.
Really?
Yes.
Because sometimes you see it the other way. Like a Javid Best ran for some Caribbean nation. He was in the NFL for a while.
Right. Well, no. They actually went – I don't know how long, but they both had tryouts at the very least and maybe had short – one of them had, I think, had a short career with an NFL program. But the NFL wasn't the NFL back then. The NFL was a very different operation. So,
speaking of the NFL, labor disputes in that league are nothing uncommon, and the Chargers
have
another going on
right
now.
You didn't want to talk about this anymore.
We're going to talk about it for 40 minutes. Leave the people wanting more, Keith Strudler. Joey Bosa and the San Diego Chargers arguing about a very minute clause in his contract to most people called offset language. Basically, the Chargers demand that all of their rookies accept offset language in their contract, which means that if they do not perform under their rookie deal and the Charger to cut them before that rookie deal ends with guaranteed money still on the contract and they sign with another team, the Chargers would essentially be able to reduce or, in fact, eliminate whatever money is still left to pay Joey Bosa, equivalent to whatever the gap in between the old contract, the first contract with the Chargers, and the new contract with the new team. It basically makes the player responsible for a team's bad personnel decision. So if they went and selected Joey Bosa, top four pick, if they go and make that selection, he turns out to be a bad football player, it puts some of the onus on Joey Bosa to have to give money back to the Chargers for making a bad personnel decision. He's fighting against that. He's not in training camp. There's a good chance now that he's not going to be ready for week one of the season. And it gets into the fact that the NFL has probably the worst union of all the professional sports leagues.
Sure.
So we got that going on.
I got nothing more to say on that.
And we're
seems like a bad deal.
It does seem like a bad deal. But then you look at it from the other side, and you're like, all right, but the Chargers are offering him a larger percentage of his signing bonus than any rookie. He'd be offered more guaranteed money this year than any other draft pick except Carson Wentz. And it's like, well, maybe it's not a terrible deal. Maybe it's a pretty good deal. It's all a moot point if he's a good football player.
Well, but isn't that – there have been several contracts that have been constructed like that, particularly in the NFL.
Yes. It's actually becoming a much more common thing in the NFL.
Oh, guys, the running back from Texas.
Ezekiel Elliott with the Cowboys is the guy who kind of opened this can.
Oh, my God, I'm having a
running back from Texas, Ricky Williams.
Ricky Williams, who one of the first athletes who created a contract that was almost entirely incentive-laden. It was a terrible contract. And then, of course, he found himself more involved with marijuana than maybe probably should have been at that point in his career, and the whole thing fell apart. But he was one of the best college running backs in history and came in as a very highly touted
draft pick. The New Orleans Saints gave up literally their entire draft to have Ricky Williams.
Sure, and then he created a terrible, terrible contract and never got the money he should have gotten because he basically created an incentive-related contract where he said, "If as long as I break every record ever," and it was like it had an incredible high top end, but it was impossible to reach.
The point that I think is interesting about the Joey Bosa contract is that most rookies, and in the NFL it's basically a scale, like you're not arguing about dollars, things like that, most rookies don't have or choose not to use any leverage. They just sort of take the deal and get on with it, and Joey Bosa's going against that. And it looks like he might be the first very high pick in a long time to actually sit out some games.
It's risky. Very risky. Risky in the NFL because, you know what? 53 guys on a team or whatever it is, and it's not like the NBA where they'll miss you. You can easily get lost. Your team does well, it's easy to get lost. And you can see a lot of talented players who sit out for a year or two don't come back.
Another conflict between a player and league and organization. Hope Solo this week essentially fired from USA Soccer. Suspended for 6 months and her contract terminated. By the time the next World Cup rolls around, she's going to be something like 39 years old. This is probably the end of her U.S. national team career. And all because she said that the team that they lost in the Olympics were cowards. That's all she said. Didn't even curse. Didn't get her money's worth.
She should have said they are blanking cowards.
If you're going to, and this, I mean, this, you learn this, you know, this is the Major League Baseball manager.
When we want this show to end, we want it to end. You're going to know when it's over.
You go down in a blaze of glory.
Yeah, we're not. No one's going to be like, oh, those guys might be in trouble this week. You're going to know. Like
all grace and dignity goes out the window.
How badly would we flame out if we knew we were about things were going south?
I think it'd be a literal flame out because I'm burning this to the ground.
Well, did you see the Deadspin Senior Week posts? Did you, Mike, you showed me those?
Oh, when because they're going out?
Yeah, because they're going out. Sure. So they're all going to publish anything under the sun.
Deadspin's not going anywhere. Gawker is gone.
Gawker is gone. But they own Deadspin, though, correct?
Correct.
Well, now nobody owns it anymore. Now it's all owned by Univision. Every Gawker blog that isn't Gawker still exists.
Right.
So Deadspin's not going anywhere. Don't worry, people.
Right, but they see
Deadspin. Deadspin and Univision seems like a match made in heaven.
Well, apparently, and this blew my mind. Apparently, Univision wants to get like young and hip.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
All right, there you go. So,
all right.
So they did a senior. I didn't see that.
That's what's coming up on the program today. Your weekly Smart Look at Sports. But first. Here's Keith Strudler. The reason we weren't on last week is because Keith Strudler was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Well, that wasn't the only reason.
Yes, that was the only reason. This is how horrible a time that he had. Please begin.
That's not true. Now you've set it up in a way that it makes it very uncomfortable.
I hope your kids are listening.
No, they're not. So now you've made this. Now you've made it very challenging for me because now I can't tell the story organically. Instead, I'm put in a defensive pose, and that's not cool.
Did you have a good time or a bad time in Jackson,
I would
Wyoming?
Say I had a mixed time. So let's start with the ending, all right? Because this is how it ended. By the way, let's start. It started very nicely.
That's good. Let's start with the ending.
No.
Tarantino film?
We get there, and we land. It's like 9:30 at night in Jackson Hole, which is in Wyoming. And we go out, and guess what? I rent my car. They give me a caddy.
Did they give you a caddy or did you pay for a caddy? Because, you know, it's funny. If you go to a restaurant, it's a funny story. I went to a restaurant. They gave me a steak. Now, that wouldn't apply in your world.
No, I'm
saying. You do realize these entities exist to give you what you ask for and pay for.
I didn't rent a caddy. I rented just a normal car, and I guess they were out. So they're like, oh, you have a Cadillac. One of, like, the STS. Really nice. Big one. Great. Now, that was great. So then we hit on the GPS, and we're like, all right, take us to the hotel. Well, apparently there's two ways to get there. There's the way you should go, particularly at night, which, I mean, you're in the mountains, like which drives you through, you know, like straight roads, whatever. And then there's the other way that's apparently 10 minutes shorter. It took us over like a mountain pass. And this is where you're like sweating. It's like 10 o'clock at night. And you're like, are you sure this is the best way to get there? There's buffalo running in front. Like, we almost didn't make it there, but we made it there. So whatever. We go there. We see the geyser, the Old Faithful. A long time in a van with in-laws. It's tough.
Long story short, as we were talking about before, apparently Old Faithful, not as faithful as you'd like.
No, it was 10 minutes late. And I started yelling at everyone. I did not. Like, it's bad when people from America refer to you as an ugly American, right? those ugly Americans. I'm like, well, you're from America, too. Those ugly New Yorkers. So at any rate, so everything was relatively good. I mean, look, family vacation. Things, by the way, I'm not able to do, ropes courses.
Surprising.
No, it's not.
No, that surprises
not
me.
Surprising at all. Scary. You get high up the ground. So the I got very nervous about seeing a bear because I would go out. Like, I was, you know, the way I would get some stress release, I'd go out and do some trail running. And there were always these signs that said, you know, watch out, be bear alert. And so someone tried to talk me into care.
You know how that sign would be better? If it said, be berry alert.
Oh, my God.
So by the way, I saw a moose out there.
Puns make everything better.
Sure. So they're like, someone tried to talk me into carrying, like, bear spray. And it's like mace on steroids. Like, it's a giant thing. And so I'm like, well, how is that going to help me? Like, how is that going to go down? When I go out there and there's a giant grizzly out there, I'm like, hold on. I'm just going to spray you in the face with this can. Give me one time. What are the odds, by the way, of A, me getting that thing engaged and getting the bear before he takes my face off, or B, that I don't spray it right in my own face?
Well, no, I mean, I'd be afraid of a mama bear. Like, that's my biggest fear.
I'm afraid of all the bears.
Like, they're so protective. And bears are so much faster than people realize. But if there's, like, baby bears, you got to get out of there.
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah. The only bear that's not going to hurt me is, like, a deadbeat father bear. Just sitting
yeah,
there
the dad
drinking
care,
and smoking. Look, just don't tell the old lady I'm out here.
Just want to eat my salmon in peace for once.
You can sit on down. What do you got there? Some trail mix with you?
I don't light all the forest fires you want. I don't care.
Is there a moose back there? Oh,
so what else?
Is that the old lady? Those kids. Whatever. Everything's going fine until about 5 o'clock, the evening before we are to leave. And we're leaving, and it's leaving at 7 a.m. Perfect time to get on an airplane, 7 a.m. So we're leaving the next morning from Jacksonville.
You're leaving early to fly west to east? Ugh. That's awful. You don't want to fly during the day west east. It was like 3 hours of your day.
I'm not doing a red eye with two kids. What do you want to do? All right, guys, sleep time. You don't understand that life is not just some giant playground. When you have a world, if you do it right.
Are we getting a world
of responsibilities. I am not taking kids on an overnight flight and then dealing with that nonsense the next day.
You'd rather them be awake the whole time?
They're going to be awake either way.
No, you tell me they're going to be awake on the plane at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, they are. Oh, yeah, they are. Oh, yeah, they are. And by the way, there's no direct Jackson Hole to New York City, so I'm changing. So I'm going to be in Salt Lake City or something like that, being like, all right, kids, we can get eggs now. Like, I'm not doing that. So yeah, we get a 7 a.m. flight, right? And we get on that plane, and I'm plugging them in. I don't care what they're watching. So I don't have to deal with it anyway.
There is no parenting happening on this flight.
He's not in charge of the parenting controls.
I don't really care at that point. It was not a pleasant flight in, by the way. A lot of arguing in the Chicago airport about who's eating what. But so we get to and by the way, when you go to an airport, you might as well spend $1,000. You spend more money in an airport.
Ridiculous.
It's its own economy. It's unbelievable. And what seems reasonable in an airport is reasonable nowhere else. Yeah. $4 for a Coke? Yeah, all right.
Even look at
that.
It's like
that eggplant parm sandwich is only $15. I'll take it. Right? I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's the worst eggplant parm
you've
ever eaten.
It's awful. It'll be. And by the way, if you don't get it then, it'll be there a week later when you come back. So it is terrible. So it's 5 o'clock the evening before we're going to come home, and the one thing you don't, and we'd been whitewater rafting, something you would hate, by the way.
Correct. To be fair, there's nothing you've mentioned during this vacation I wouldn't hate.
Starting with spending time with my family.
You're like, when I relax, I like to go for a run in the woods. The only time I will ever...
Quick 12 miles.
If I am running in the woods in my life, it is because I am running from something.
It's like a scene out of The Shining. Someone's chasing you with a chainsaw. so, so, uh, So, by the way, I saw one animal. I still am not convinced if it was a giant deer or an elk. I wish they would let me know that. So, they look very similar as far as I can tell. The moose, you can tell. The moose, they know. They talk funny. Like Marty Moose.
How is Marty Moose your go-to moose? Your go-to moose should be Bullwinkle.
Well, no, because I'm a big vacation.
No, I mean, vacation's great, but I don't think anybody gets the Marty Moose. You know, Bullwinkle is your go-to pop culture moose.
Bullwinkle's real popular right now with our listeners either.
That's got to be your go-to pop culture moose. It can't be Marty Moose.
It's Marty Moose. So anyway, I am 5 o'clock back in the condo. By the way, we're all sharing a condo.
How many bedrooms you got there?
3 bedrooms.
Okay.
There's plenty of bedroom.
Yeah.
But the problem is the common area. The bedroom's not your issue. It's the common area. And the bedrooms aren't that big. So we come out, and I'm about to get out of the car, go in, and I say, things you never want to say the night before you get on a 7 o'clock flight, 7 a.m. flight the next morning. Where is my wallet? Well, I come to realize that my wallet is not on my person, which leaves me 3 options. 1, in the car. 2, in the condo, which because I had gone up. 3, in a field on the side of a road where I stopped to take a picture.
You're kidding.
Serious heart attack. I combed those 3 areas. At 8 o'clock, came to the realization, not going to happen. Now,
if you're jumping ahead at home, you might be thinking, how did he get on the plane?
Well, 2 things. First off, let me say I may have spoken inappropriately to everyone else at that point. Because you hit your breaking point? I hit my breaking point. Like, the end of the vacation, I've had it. I just hit my – I may have told everyone to get the blank out at some point. I'm not proud of it. It's not something I'm happy about. It wasn't my happiest moment. But, you know, it is what it is. So – I spent the rest of my last evening. Now, positive note, got me out of dinner with the family that last night. Right?
I'm nodding right along with you.
So there is that.
Well played, sir. Well played.
The one good thing.
Oh, no. Yeah. So, I mean, it was worth it. I think one more night of sitting there like, do you want to share the fish? Like, I can't do it. I just can't do it anymore. I can't have it. All right? So I'm not going to do that anymore. So I get my alone time. I have to cancel all my credit cards.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unpleasant. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you know what you start to realize you need when you're traveling? Money.
Yes.
And so I got nothing.
And identification. Yes.
So this is what I had. I realized pretty quickly that I had my passport with me. And the reason I travel with my passport, because I know there's about a 50% chance I'll lose my wallet. So I was able to get back on the plane. I wasn't sure what I was going to do without, because I don't know what you have to do to get ID when you're in Jackson Hole. I don't know. But regardless, I think you just go to the airport and you try to convince them you're a nice guy. I think that's literally what you do.
Show me your Marist ID.
Well, I lost my wallet.
Right. True.
Do you think I keep my Marist ID in a special?
I keep mine separate.
I assume it's on a lanyard with a hole punched in it slung around the back of your neck.
So I can get meals? Yeah. No.
What you should do.
Yeah. All right. So I got home that way. But it did make for an unpleasant final evening. There was some debriefing to be done. So that's how the vacation. Jackson Hole is beautiful. You know, it's a long trip. Anyone who does, I'm sure a lot of people right now driving through the area, maybe doing a family. If you happen to be driving through the area, you're doing a family trip in the Hudson Valley. Maybe you're one of the people in the family that's just literally sitting in the car to get away from your family. So you're just driving around aimlessly because you don't want to go back to wherever you're staying. I don't know. I don't know how people do camping vacations.
Oh, don't get me started on camping. Don't get me started on camping. Camping is not a vacation. It is a punishment. It is a punishment.
Have you gone camping?
Never. Never. Why would I go camping? What is the appeal?
Nature.
My pants are ready, by the way. Some pants taken in, they're ready. So,
what is the appeal to camping?
Oh, there's none. I was an assistant scoutmaster. By the way, we're getting a...
Oh. This is a good time to point out, our show is now 25% over. We have spent 25% of our allotted weekly airtime.
We didn't even hear about his vacation. We heard about his wallet.
That's all you needed to know. That's all you needed to know.
What do you say we do a sports show?
Let's do that.
Okay, because you're in the classroom. It's your weekly Smart Look at Sports. Class in session. We're back after this. Fox 12 20 97.3 ESPN Radio. Back in the classroom, I'm Jeff. He's Keith. Mike and Anna are hanging out as well. It's our last summer show. Soon we're going to have like 17 people in this room helping us produce your weekly Smart Look at Sports. Do not forget, like us on Facebook. Search for ESPN The Classroom. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN_Classroom. And as mentioned, podcasts are available via the podcast section of iTunes. Search for ESPN The Classroom. Tweet at us when you download one. Tell us your name, something about yourself, and we'll tell you how much we love you.
That's right. If you download and tweet at us that you've downloaded, we'll make sure that's aware. By the way, interesting thing that happened yesterday. Soledad O'Brien followed me on Twitter. I gave her a follow back. Interesting little thing. Just go.
You done?
Just go. I mean, I just thought you might want to know that. The people might want to know that. Maybe what I'm trying to tell you, folks. Good enough for Soledad O'Brien. Good enough for you guys. So get Keith Strudler on Twitter. Let's get there. Let's make it happen.
Followed you by mistake, by the way.
No. We have a natural tie.
She was trying to follow.
It's a real sports tie.
Kevin Stodler.
So it's a real sports tie. Maybe John Frankel said, "Oh, you should follow this guy, Keith," even though John's not on Twitter. What's that?
How is John?
Oh boy, that's the end. That's that. The show's over.
John
Frankel, if you don't know, the correspondent for HBO's Real Sports, occasional guest here on The Classroom,
and a close personal friend of mine.
Not that last.
That's true. Oh, we've been in contact all summer.
Quite a lot.
Oh no, yes.
Are you Snapchatting? Do you guys Snapchat?
No, we send each other pictures. Like he sends me pictures from Aspen, I send him pictures.
So you should Snapchat. You're using a lot of data that way. You should just get Snapchat.
Whatever.
For the record, Soledad O'Brien is following 161,000 people. So.
I am no. Mike Wallace is intern of the day. But how many people follow her?
501.
That's right. So yes, it's not like everyone who follows her gets a follow.
Yeah, but it's more impressive if she doesn't follow you at that point.
No, it doesn't. There's like how many millions of people on Twitter? That's not true.
It's not true. But it is less impressive when you find out.
I know. I wasn't going to tell you that.
You're not part of the exclusive club. I was doing the math in my head.
It's still pretty good.
It's not that
good. Not following you, is she?
She might be. I don't know.
No, she's not.
So many people follow me I can't keep track of them all.
Who's the most famous person to follow?
I have no idea. I can't keep track.
Oh, you know
the legions and legions of people.
Who's the most famous person?
I have no idea.
By the way, follow the Center for Sports Communication. We're nearing the 1,000 person number. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. Four digits. We'll take that.
Yeah.
Should we talk about what happened at the end of the Olympics?
Yeah, let's do that.
So one of the last events in any Olympic Games is the marathon, and this year it featured Ethiopian runner Fayesa Lelesa finishing second. And as he crossed the finish line before he got his silver medal, he put both arms over his head and crossed his wrists in an X formation, which is a sign of support for anti-government protesters in Ethiopia. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, Lelesa's gesture brought a lot of widespread attention to something that I didn't know was happening in the world. Keith Strudler didn't know what was happening in the world. I think a lot of people didn't know what was going on. I always had this picture in my head of Ethiopia as one of the more solid African nations, one with something of an economy and generally pretty safe. And that was apparently shattered by learning about what's going on there, the human rights violations that the government is perpetrating against its people, because Fayesa Lelesa made this gesture, and then people went on to explain and write about exactly what that means. Pretty big risk for this guy to do this, because now he's not certain that he can go home again. He's worried about what might happen to him if he returns to his home country. And further complicating matters, his wife and children are also back in Ethiopia and concerned what might happen to them.
Sure, as you would imagine. And there seems to be in Ethiopia there is a minority ruling class, which is part of the issue. So it has some elements, I suppose, of what we saw in South Africa years ago, where you had a minority class, and this is tribalism, and he's from the Oromo region, and that group seems to be persecuted. And again, these are things I'd like to say this with a higher degree of certainty. All that we know about this now are things that we've read, and I think we've become much more aware of that.
What's really happening is that the government wants to expand, as far as I understand it, they want to expand their urban centers and kind of encroach on some of the tribal land of the Oromo people. They're protesting the government, and the government is being very violent in return.
Imprisoning or killing. Yeah. Yep, exactly. So tens of thousands that have been imprisoned, hundreds are dead. And so Again, stuff that we know very little about. And it is interesting because when we get into the Olympics, we talk about these countries that we have grievances with and the human rights violations. And for us, it becomes very kind of singular, like we don't like this country, or we don't like what's happening in Rio, or we don't like what Russia did. And we really largely ignore the fact that there are human rights violations all across the world. Now, and I mean, this is no different than, I mean, I don't want to bring this in any way too close to home, but the NBA has pulled out of playing their All-Star game in North Carolina, something
right.
we talked about weeks ago.
Right.
We feel very happy about that, and they did a great thing. We don't in any way discuss the fact that they still do a ton of business in China, which has much worse human rights violations than North Carolina. So we become very singular in our understanding of human rights and so forth. So we'll protest this, but we don't care about that. And so so we've become much more aware about this. I guess the question becomes, and there are a few questions that are raised by this. I don't think anyone questions whether this was a brave move. No doubt. I mean, he made the world aware of something of a human rights tragedy.
Yes,
right?
brave, absolutely. Bravery and stupidity often walk arm in arm.
We don't know. I mean, so that actually wasn't even one of the questions. It does clearly seem to put his family at risk. What's more or less surprising to me is that, and I guess there's another question: will this actually make it better?
Well, I mean, and I don't say, you know, I think it was stupid. He shouldn't have done it.
No,
but he brought in a large risk on himself, on his family.
A personal risk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, he made a bold stand, much bolder than you would think somebody putting their arms up should be.
Yep.
And it makes you wonder, you know, is the risk worth the reward?
Well, I guess what I wonder is, will this actually make it better for Ethiopia? Does the world come? Does the world take notice and do anything about it? Or is this one of the things like, yeah, there you go. It's not like we're going in. America's going in.
I'll be honest, if he didn't do this, and we're not talking about it right now.
But does that make it better?
It's a step. It's a step in the right direction.
I understand.
How long does it take for things to change? I mean, it takes years upon years.
Yeah. So it's an interesting question. Does that actually – is this an effective way of making things better? It certainly is an effective way of creating awareness. Does it actually
make
it better?
Think about it, awareness is the first step to fixing any problem. You can't fix a problem that isn't acknowledged, right?
Sure.
Like everybody has to come together and say, hey, this is a problem. We got to fix this. That's step one, right? Like until you agree on that, you can't go beyond it.
Sure. I agree. Now what was actually quite interesting was it doesn't sound like this was something that he thought of for a long time in advance. He made it sound like, yeah, you know, as I was getting there, I decided to go ahead and do it, and then I went with it. Like, this was not – I think if you read kind of the transcripts of the 1968 games, they were much more predetermined that we want to use this platform to you know, kind of make a stand on civil rights in America. That doesn't sound like what happened here. I mean, I'm sure it was on top of mind because that's his country.
So that's interesting. So you've run marathons, right?
Sure.
What's your mindset like after 26 miles of running?
Generally, how much urine streaming down the side of my leg?
Oh, yeah.
It's a loss of body control becomes a big thing. No, you're done. I mean, and these guys are not – look, and I'm not – by the way, I'm not in any way making fun of anyone who's out there who's run a marathon. Like, oh, I run marathons. You don't run marathons like they run marathons. Like,
true.
Yes.
It's like anybody who plays a sport on the weekends versus someone who does it at the
highest
level.
I played a little ball myself. I'm like, no, you didn't play ball like the NFL guys played ball. You weren't worried about getting your head taken off. And the guys around you weren't 260 running a 4.4. Like, so you didn't play that. So anyone – and this is in no way just, you know, trying to speak down to the people, the listeners who have done marathons. That what they do is an entirely different ballgame. And the better I got at running in college cross country and beyond, the more I realized that even what I did at a Division I college cross country at a pretty decent school was still nothing like what was actually, because there was a guy or two on our team that were running the Olympic trials, and even that guy was a step ahead of us, and he didn't make the team. So these guys are in an entirely different world, like they're whole different. So they should be exhausted. They should be absolutely shot. They take everything to the tank. So it is interesting that they have the presence of mind to be able to do that. And let's also, you just won a silver medal at the Olympics. You would think that there would be a little bit of bravado. I just did this. Look at me. And so it is interesting that he does have the presence of mind to do that. But it isn't. That's very different than doing it like at the end of 100. At the end of 100, you still. you know, you're winded, but you're there.
Yeah. It's only 9 seconds.
Did that just happen?
Like, to be fair, like 7 seconds in, Usain Bolt turns to the camera and smiles. Like,
so far ahead.
That's true. It is true.
And he's posing for pictures. The race isn't even over yet.
I like the interviews they do with like 400 runners right after the race and they can't speak.
Oh, yeah. Good. I mean, I assume you empty the tank.
Yeah. Like. And there's certain races, again, this is really inside baseball, but there's certain races, and I'm sure this is true in swimming too.
Yeah.
Certain races.
Anna's a swimmer, by the way.
Yes, Anna's a swimmer. Right, certain races that, you know, yeah, you finish and you're fine. There's certain races, there's like this mid-range, and in track, it's the 400, 800, and 1600, the mile. Those, because they're fast, they're short enough that you're still going at a really, really all-out pace, but they're long enough that it's not just over like the 100 where you recover really quickly. Like if you do the 400 is basically sprinting as fast as you can for that long, for four, as opposed to sprinting as fast as you can for 100 meters. You don't really slow down all that much.
400 meters, by the way, one lap around.
One full lap around. So
for those of you that don't run.
Or an indoor track, two laps. So
is that right? An indoor track is exactly half the size of an outdoor track?
That's correct.
I didn't know that.
Wait, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Would you not have noticed that the indoor?
I mean, I had an idea that they weren't. I had an idea that they weren't the same size. I didn't know that indoor tracks were standardized like that.
Generally speaking, yeah. Not every single one, but yeah, generally it's a 200 meter indoor track. That's what most of them are. Makes sense, doesn't it?
It does. It makes perfect sense.
We got that solved. So getting back to the he had the presence of mind to know what he was doing. If that, but I think there another question that comes up is. Whether, and this is the age-old question, whether the Olympics is a place where people should be making political statements. Because the reality is he made a statement, Faiza made a statement, there are countless athletes in the Olympic movement that could also make
sure.
political statements. It's not as if Ethiopia is the only country
not
in
at
which
all.
There is human rights violations.
Why should one not? I mean, if you're an Olympic athlete, if you're Faiza Lilesa, you will almost certainly never have a platform like the one of you crossing the finish line in second place during the Olympic marathon.
That's true.
That is almost certainly the most visible moment of his life.
That's true. Because he will have better athletic moments because the reality is you don't win money. He'll actually be in better marathons. I mean, the Olympic marathon is not one of the
but
best marathons.
He probably will never be in a more visible marathon.
Because no one's watching the Rotterdam marathon.
So why would he not? If he has a cause that he feels so strongly about, why would he not take that opportunity to draw attention to it?
Because
it makes somebody else uncomfortable? Like, it just doesn't seem like...
I largely agree with you, but because it becomes a slippery slope.
Yeah, I think there's a line.
It brings risk into it for him, absolutely.
No. It's not even that. At some point, there has to... Part of the ideology of the Olympics was it was apolitical. I know it's a farce.
The Olympic ideology has come so far from what it was supposed to be that it's out the window at this point.
I understand.
You can't just use the Olympic ideals when it's politically expedient for you.
I understand that. But my point is that the idea behind the Olympics, or the ideal or the ethos, is it's supposed to be apolitical and it was supposed to be a moment of truce. And
that's true. That was the countries used to stop fighting wars during the 2 weeks of the Olympics.
Sure. So if athletes thus are using the Olympics as, as a political platform, you lose that ability to have that. The Olympics as a place for apolitical, everyone comes together in moments of peace and have sport, that's gone. Now, we all realize that doesn't exist anyway. So maybe the question is, look, just get rid of the whole thing, all right? I mean, that's...
Just get rid of the Olympics?
Yeah.
We've made that argument.
Right. I mean, I guess the counter argument, I'm not saying I agree what he did was brave. I support what he did.
Flash risky. Important to mention that risk there.
I think it's certainly effective. He'll probably feel that it was much more effective if he gets asylum in the United States, as does his family.
Which he's considering applying for. His family is still in Ethiopia.
It's challenging. It's not easy to get out. So it's not that I do not support what he did, and I think I said that extensively in a commentary I wrote this week. I just also know that if every athlete did that, which could happen. I mean, you have athletes from countries from all over the world that could all use the Olympics as a platform to express issues with human rights violations. You'd have a very different event, and you probably couldn't have the kind of sporting festival that we come to know the Olympics as. That's the risk. So I don't have a real answer. Now, that would probably make a lot more sense if the Olympics weren't kind of the, you know, just this cesspool of corruption.
If they weren't presented by Coca-Cola?
Well, not only presented by Coca-Cola, but also held with a giant wall, you know, across the street where there's favelas run by drug lords where if people get shot every day.
And so, put on by arguably the most corrupt body this side of Putin's Kremlin.
And done to benefit a small handful of people while throwing a country further into economic turmoil. So if it weren't for that, then maybe this would have a little bit more gravitas. So as is, I think you have to respect what he did. You have to also understand the IOC probably doesn't know how to deal with it. And I'm not saying there's a good answer there.
We got to take a break. We come back. Do we debate an esoteric sports topic in necessary detail?
Oh, we can.
But not with esoteric sports expert Jim Cotter.
Well, we don't know where Jim Cotter is.
I feel like we haven't known for a while. Should we be concerned?
Well.
Did anyone give Jim Cotter the bear mace before he went out into the woods? Are we certain that Jim Cotter hasn't become lunch?
How scared would you be if you saw a big bear in the woods?
Very.
I've seen bears before.
Very
Saw a bear in my backyard in Beacon.
I'd be very
scared.
You
know that.
And here's the thing. If anybody's like, oh, yeah, if I saw a bear in the wilderness, because remember, you're on the bear's turf at that point.
We've been over this.
If you see a bear in the wilderness and somebody's like, I'm not scared, you're a liar. Mm. You're a liar.
I saw a bear in Whistler, and I wasn't that scared.
How far away was it?
Oh, 5 feet.
5 feet? What are you in a zoo?
The bear ran right across this running trail that I was running on. Now, it was a small bear.
See, if the bear's like on a mission, if the bear's mobile, I'm going to be less scared than if I like come up on the bear.
Well, the bear seemed afraid of me almost.
Hmm. Interesting.
So the bear just ran right in front of me. Like I told you, there was a bear in my backyard in Beacon.
Yes.
My dog was sitting there barking at it. I wasn't afraid. I actually wanted to go out and pet the bear.
This is why you see these stories on the news. You're like, man mauled by bear. You're like, what idiot gets mauled by a bear? And now we know. Now we know, because there's people like, oh, that bear looks friendly.
Well, that bear
is probably Yogi. Just swiped a picnic basket.
That's a better bear to go to, the Yogi the bear.
Yogi's
a great bear.
Yeah.
We were talking about moose before.
Oh, that's right. You know my go-to bear, Fozzie.
Fozzie bear's a fine bear. A fine bear. I like a Smokey the.
Yeah, you got the forest fires.
Yep,
yeah.
Smokey the bear.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't think I'd
Let me tell you what bear I don't care for. Pooh. I don't care for Pooh and his outlook on life.
What? Eating?
Just sits there and eats, yeah.
Yeah. He should be a productive member of society.
No, so, that's rabbit's
But
job.
I see, here's the thing. If I saw a bear in the woods, see, the thing is, they can get really big. Those bears can get big.
Yeah, no big animals.
Way. Yeah, that's the problem. Man, I think
it's like Jack Hanna over here.
I think a black bear. We should do a segment where we have a zookeeper bring an animal
into
the studio.
Yeah, really great radio segment.
It's an eagle in the studio.
To be fair, it's radio. We could do that next segment and just lie about it.
So we could just leave the doors to the building open overnight and see what comes in. Look, we've got a porcupine here today.
Look, it's a sophomore.
So I think I'd be nervous about if it was a grizzly. Because they are much more aggressive. The grizzly bears really can do some damage.
There is no bear that I am not afraid of if
None?
I encounter them in the wild.
How about like a panda?
No.
Koala.
Oh, my God. First of all, now I'm in like
koala.
South.
A koala.
Koalas are very aggressive.
I have heard koalas are the most angry bears.
Yeah. Oh, no. Koalas are very
Koalas are marsupial, by the way.
Well, so it's not even a bear.
It's a marsupial.
Okay.
They have nails.
That's why you wear the glove, like you're a falcon guy.
What?
In the wild?
Where am I? What am I carrying my falconry attire? I'm in Southeast Asia. I happen upon a panda.
Sure.
And I just happen to have a bear keeping suit.
You know, pandas don't have the long. Pandas are totally harmless.
You try to pet their young.
Brian
Fantana.
You can put me in a panda cage right now. And I will sit there for I'll spend the night. I'll sleep. The smell might get to me.
You know what? I say we do this for charity. For charity. Every hour Keith Strudler spends in a panda cage, I will donate money to the charity of his choice.
That's fine. Well, it's going to be some kind of rehabilitative hospital because that's where I'm going to end up at the end of this. All right, we got to go break.
More of the Clash from ahead, Fox 020, 97.3 ESPN Radio. We have entered Bizarro World. During that commercial break, we are passing around photos of bears, and everybody I'm surrounded was like, oh, that bear's so cute. I would hug that bear.
The sun bear.
Who are the? I mean, well, the who bear, are you people?
The sun bear is the bear that's right out of Chuck E. Cheese that plays a piano and dances.
It's also the type of bear that Pooh Bear is.
Also known as the honey bear.
The honey bear. This bear is lovely. I would actually think, I don't know, I'm assuming it's not allowed. I would have this bear as a pet. That's what, if here's the thing.
Jesus.
If we start, no. if the classroom starts a softball team, like the Center for Sports Comp Soft, we're going to be the Sun Bears.
Okay.
I can deal with that.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's fine. That, yeah. Wait, but why would you want to be the most docile and lovable of the bears?
Because we're going to go like 0-20. We're going to lose to like every other academic. Like, we'll be like, oh man, MIPO beat us by 50 today. The Hudson River Valley Institute.
Oh, first of all, I like to think we would beat up on the Polling Institute. Come on.
We should start an academic center sports league, softball league. Get all those together. Be us, Hudson River Valley Institute. We'd have to go to other colleges.
That's fine. We got four of them in the county.
And we would go down to New York, get a few of these.
Sure.
Who would cause us trouble?
I'd
be worried about some of the business institutes, some of the big school business institutes. They might bring some heat. Well-funded. So those are the ones that would get me nervous. But
Talk about Ryan Lochte real quick.
Yeah, let's
get this
Ryan
off
Lochte.
Our chest, because we were off last week when all this was really going on.
Look at that tongue on that bear.
I'm scared of that bear. That bear is literally licking its chops to eat you. And you're like, look how cute he is.
Look at that bear.
Look, he's so cute.
Look at that bear's face.
Oh, my God. You people are.
Oh, my God.
This is why I don't go camping.
I would like to kiss that bear.
Ryan Lochte.
That's a real interesting thing.
What is
describing this
bear? I would just like to put that bear's face on mine and let him lick my face all over. I'd like to put honey all over my face and let him just lick me clean.
You can't make this stuff up.
Okay, so Ryan Lochte's an idiot.
Yeah.
We've well established that.
Well, he's not. I mean, look.
Yeah, no, yeah, he is. You're going to defend? Go ahead.
I'm not. I just don't like your rhetoric. I don't think that's nice.
What, honesty? Honesty?
It's because he's from the University of Florida.
I got no Florida ties to him. He's...
You can't pick and choose. You own Aaron Hernandez just as you own Ryan Lochte.
And Riley Cooper.
Oh, and Riley Cooper, he's a racist.
All right. We're going to go down this road now. I mean, please. All right, come on.
So Ryan Lochte gets drunk in Brazil, which I'm fine with, by the way. The part doesn't bother me. Goes to a gas station, tries to go to the bathroom. Bathroom's locked. Ryan Lochte, because he's drunk,
kicks a sign.
But because it's Brazil, gas stations have armed guards. So that armed guard decides to hold Ryan Lochte and
we
his friends
story, yeah.
at gunpoint. He lies about it. He tells his mom. Al Roker goes
by the
on,
way,
gets all upset.
Did we not? Roker. Al Roker. He took it to Billy Bush.
Billy Bush was trying to do that thing where he's like, well. And Al Roker, he's a liar.
Al Roker found his cause. He went after him. Interesting.
So anyway, long story short, now Ryan Lochte is trying to rehabilitate.
Hey, Billy Bush,
image.
You are no Matt Lauer.
He has lost, talking about Ryan Lochte, all of his sponsors. They're all gone. They've abandoned him.
And by the way, which include Ralph Lauren, Speedo, and a bunch of companies I've never heard of.
A mattress company, yeah. now he's trying to rehabilitate his image. How is he doing that? Dancing with the Stars.
By the way, I'm not going to take too much credit here, even though Soledad O'Brien follows me on Twitter, but I'm going to say this. I wrote a commentary on Wednesday. I say he'll be back on reality TV in no time. And literally in no time, by that evening, ESPN reported that he was going on Dancing with the Stars, which I believe was in the works beforehand. So that was already in the works. They just didn't pull the plug on it, basically.
Should have been The Bachelor.
It should have been The Bachelor.
Oh,
that would have been amazing.
Although there's a little part of me that thinks, would it have been better if it was The Bachelorette and he was one of the guys in with the other guys?
Oh, that would have been
making up stories.
Well, see, but then you're going to really know like where his star has fallen. Because what if he gets like kicked out the first week?
But him, like,
he doesn't have a brain.
But him, no. But him waiting to get the rose or something like that would be special.
Do you think when she's like, "Will you accept this rose?" He says, "Yeah."
Yes, 100%.
But, like, could you imagine, like, the scenes? Like, if you thought they all hated Chad, could you imagine how much they would have hated Ryan? Oh, God. Do Do we have to hang out with Ryan? He smells like chlorine. Oh, my God. Did he leave his Speedos in your...
Well, and did you hear that the sign was actually a sign? The sign he kicked was the one that the gas station got for free. So it wasn't even
no.
An
they extorted him.
Sign.
They totally extorted
him. The gas station extorted him.
Let's not change.
You know,
the...
I'm not defending him.
No, no. Everyone made.
To be fair, people should defend him. He got drunk and he did something
right,
like what he did was not that bad.
It was not that bad.
The lying about it was stupid. That was stupid. But what stupid person has never gotten drunk and lied about what they did while they were drunk?
Me. Well, I'm not stupid. But so.
The most reliable force on the planet. Stupid people acting stupidly.
So, but here's what, and I will give you credit for this. As you said, you should never let the least intelligent person in the group come up with the alibi. Now, I would also say, don't make your mom the patsy. Like, that's the other side of it. That story never broke if it wasn't for mom. Mom broke the story. That's a great way that the story broke, the way she was just on a – she had broken her foot and someone helped her on a bus, and she's like, oh, my son got held up. He has blue hair. I mean, and the reporter's like, hey, is your son Ryan Lochte? So how do I feel about him being rehabilitated? You know what? Look, he's going to be back.
Yeah.
The idea – everyone's like, he's done. He's not done.
I hope he's back. Ryan Lochte acted like Ryan Lochte. What he did was on brand.
This is like the bear attacking
like if
a
you're
human.
A
he's like, supposed to attack the human.
Like, if you're a fan of Ryan Lochte, what he did falls right into his Lochteism.
Well, right. I don't understand why Speedo, like, on his show, he got drunk all the time.
Exactly.
He's taking girls home on the show.
Ryan Lochte's
– I don't get why now
Ryan
is the Lochte time.
Ryan Lochte's appeal – is doing stupid things while being drunk.
Yeah.
And also being fantastic at swimming.
Right.
Let's not forget.
Oh, he's a good swimmer, too.
Let's
sure.
Not forget that he
in
knows
fact,
how to swim.
In fact, if it weren't for Michael Phelps, he would be the Michael
greatest
Phelps.
Swimmer of the generation. We got to take a break. Second hour of the classroom ahead. Fox 12 20 97.3 ESPN Radio. Second hour of the classroom live from the Marist College Center for Sports Communication in Poughkeepsie. I'm Jeff Brault. He's Dr. Keith Schroeder. He looks like he's got something to say right away.
I was just going to say, it's really interesting to me that everyone here is going to have a pleasant afternoon.
Yep.
Jeff, you're going to golf.
Correct.
Anna is going to do something illicit, I believe, with
probably
the
Mike
rest of the swim team. All right.
And okay, whoa. First of all, this is we have this discussion all the time in sports. You know when coaches are like, they're suspended for a violation of team rules. That's almost always worse than just saying what they did. Like, why would a coach go, yeah, they're suspended, they were 10 minutes late? Like, that's better. Then when you're like, oh, they violated team rules. And everybody goes in their head, and they're like, oh, must be steroids. Like, they default to the worst. And when you're like, Ada's going to go do something illicit, I'm like, it's the first day back in college. What do you think she's going to do? She's got a couple pops.
My theory, whenever I heard team rules, I always assumed it was either cheating or gambling.
Sure. Yeah, but whatever it is your mind goes to a much worse place than what
sure.
it almost
well,
always
sometimes it is.
Is.
Sometimes it is bad.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's like, they walked out of practice because we got in a fight. And it's not that bad, but coach is like, well, I can't put that out there.
PJ, Carlos Mill kind of situation.
The PR people.
I think they say team conduct now.
Whatever
team
they
conduct.
Say, it doesn't matter.
All right.
So, just say what it is.
But I'm just saying,
a little transparency,
right,
a little honesty.
And
the world
Mike,
needs more of it.
Mike's going to do whatever Mike's going to do. I'm just going to be hanging out, just doing nothing, just sitting there. All right. And what am I going to do today?
What are you going to do today?
I have to go get some keys made, some new keys.
I don't want to be a grown-up. Can I?
That is probably the smartest thing anyone's ever said in this program.
Pick up some pants, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, we heard about the pants in the first hour of the show.
So for the wedding, we have to go to.
That's
you know,
fun.
So, yeah, we're going
you have
to
a wedding tonight?
No, I have a wedding next week.
Oh, where?
Boca on Labor Day Sunday.
Boca?
No way. Stop
Boca.
Complaining.
Oh, this needs to be said. Those people that schedule their weddings on a three-day
yeah,
weekend and think that they're doing their guests a favor are not doing their guests a favor.
So,
they're not.
Well, I got another issue.
Nobody wants to spend their three-day weekend at your wedding.
So here's my other problem. It's Boca. By the way, Boca in the summer, it's not so great. It's hot. But that's fine because I had my wedding in Houston in the summer. But we lived there. This is a destination wedding. They don't live in Boca.
Wait. Neither side of the...
Neither side.
No!
They're making us go to Boca, and they don't even live there.
That's a horrible destination.
It's a neutral set.
Why did they stop there? They could have gone to Miami.
Well, but no. Boca's... No, you can go to Miami if you like. No, Boca's. It's just.
Yeah, but if you're gonna have, you're gonna make people go somewhere. At least have them go somewhere good.
Well, Boca's fine. You have a weird sense
Boca's
of what's good and bad.
Fine,
yeah,
but it's
nice,
not good.
The Boca Club's luxurious. You'd like
I'm
it.
Sure
it's a hotel.
Great.
It's very
I'm
nice.
I'm sure it's great.
It's very nice.
But they have. This is the same argument about Jackson Hole, Wyoming. You're like, I'm sure it's nice, but they have things equally as nice in better places.
It's not true. But Mike, regardless, there's no one. Why are you making me go to a place that neither of you live at? It just doesn't make sense. So I got to go down to that. It's hot. If you're going to do a destination wedding in September, you go someplace cooler. You go up to Colorado so you don't have to suffer, right?
First of all, Colorado, not north of here.
No, north of where they are. They're in Dallas.
Oh, okay, fine.
They're in Dallas or Houston or something like that, right?
Oh, this is from Dallas.
They're from Houston, Dallas. Regardless. All right, but now, by the way, I know our Leander's on the line, but here's my other problem. I'm getting into a huge argument about what I'm going to be wearing to this wedding. This gets back to
the
in-laws.
Well, it's got to be a cotton suit. It's going to be hot. Outdoors?
Oh,
outdoor
no.
Wedding?
No, I've been told.
Is it an indoor wedding?
No, I think it's outdoors, but in the evening. But here's the problem. It says formal.
No! I have never hated anyone that I haven't met more than I hate these people. A destination wedding on a 3-day weekend in formal attire. Half the appeal of a destination wedding is you can show up in an unbuttoned shirt and sandals on a beach. You have to put on a tuxedo in Boca on Labor Day weekend?
How close are these people?
It's my wife's first cousins.
Oh, God. Oh, gotta go to that.
So I'm going
to tell you what. This is the wedding that is the reason the RSVP card has a no box.
So it's. I've gotten into a huge argument with my in-laws about, because I want to wear a suit.
It's not formal.
It is formal.
If the invitation says formal, they mean like tuxedos and
formal
is
not black tie. No, it's not. Look up Mike Wallace. Look up formal for us. It's not formal. Does not mean formal. Could also be a suit.
Then why would they put formal
because they
on
don't,
the invitation?
Because no one puts what they actually want.
Who doesn't wear a suit to a wedding? To be fair, I did. Let's go to a wedding where a guy was wearing a T-shirt, and on the back of that T-shirt, it said nothing except the word boots, the number 2, and then the word asses. That's what the T-shirt said at a wedding. Boots to asses.
Give that wedding 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Or 6 months.
That is not formal attire.
I think I like it when people wear the T-shirts with the tuxedos on them.
Oh, that's so much worse.
Those are always funny.
God, now right.
We'll get an answer. By the way, tweet us if you know. Like, so, by the way, here's what I want to know. I have a blue suit, not a dark blue suit, just a medium blue suit. That's what I want to wear. I am being forced to wear a tuxedo. Force. It's going to be I hope I have a heat stroke. I am going to dehydrate myself. I am going to dehydrate myself before this wedding, and I'm going to pass out. I am going to make this thing about me one way or another. They're going to have – I don't care.
Dr. Strother's motto.
You're going to have the emergency medical team. There's going to be a fire truck outside this place carting me out of this because I'm going to pass out because I'm going to sweat myself into a frenzy, not drink all day, hang out on the beach, burn like a lobster, and sit there in my tuxedo and pass out when they're doing their vows. That'll teach you for making me wear a tuxedo. I hope my wife was not listening to that really badly right now. There are very few moments when I wish more than that, because that is going to be a conversation.
Okay, so there's no good way to segue here. Continuing to talk about disputes between athletes and the entities that they work for. This week, U.S. soccer...
We got to roll because Leander's got baby duty.
This week, U.S. soccer basically removed Hope Solo from the equation. She's been suspended for 6 months. Her contract has been terminated. And this probably marks the end of her tenure as the goalkeeper for the U.S. women's national team. Why is she off the team? Because when they lost to Sweden in the Olympics, in the quarterfinal round, she said that the Swedes were cowards.
Right.
That's it. And now she's gone. Joining us in the classroom is our soccer expert. We need a good title for him, like soccer correspondent.
Soccer aficionado.
Okay, sure.
Aficionado is a good one.
He's an adjunct professor here at Marist College. He writes for Yahoo Sports, Vice Sports. You can
find his thoughts all over the interwebs.
A lot of Twitter
followers. All over the interwebs. I wonder if Soledad O'Brien is one.
Doubt it.
Leander Charlekins is in the classroom. Hey, Leander.
Hey, guys. Actually, I think Soledad O'Brien did follow me.
Oh! You could have lied. You could have lied.
No, seriously, look it up.
Oh, I will. Mike.
Keith thought he was special.
Just me and 160,000 of my best, closest friends.
Leander, why did U.S. soccer part ways with Hope Solo this week?
Well, that's the big question. And by their explanation, it isn't just that coward's comment, which she was referring to their tactics that they used. It was the quarterfinals of the Women's Olympic Soccer Tournament. The U.S. had won the last three of those Olympic soccer tournaments. And the other two, they had either won or come second, so they've been hugely successful. And Sweden knocked them out in the quarterfinals in Rio on penalties by playing really negative tactics, which they have every right to do, really. I mean, it's part of the game. You know, some teams play attacking soccer and some teams play defensive soccer. Sweden, understanding that they were sort of the lesser team, played defensive soccer. And Solo called them sort of in the heat of the moment after the game. She called them cowards. U.S. soccer is saying, well, it's not just that. It's sort of a litany of offenses over the years, and she had sort of been warned time and again, and so now she gets the suspension. As you mentioned, it's not just the suspension, because the 6 months sounds like a lot, but since the U.S. women didn't win, they're not going on their usual victory tour after a major tournament, so that only actually means two games in September, so that's not such a big deal. Her contract cancellation, however, is because the women's national teams are actually full-time employees of U.S. soccer. That's how they make their living. So she's essentially been fired. Given the fact that she's 35 and that she'll be 38 the summer that the next Women's World Cup rolls around in 2019, this very, very likely spells the end of her national team career. But I think it poses a lot of questions about the timing of this, because she has done much worse things in her life. She still has a pretty serious domestic violence case open against her, which the attorney or the prosecutor in Seattle appealed after it was dismissed on a technicality. She has a long history of run-ins with the law, of falling out with a coach, that sort of thing. So it sort of felt like this was the least bad thing she had ever done. And, of course, now, all of a sudden, that she may perhaps not be as useful to U.S. soccer any longer. She's getting kicked off the team. So there's a lot of people asking questions about that.
A lot of people have suggested that this was sexist. This would never have happened to a man. They get treated differently. And I think certainly when juxtaposed to Ryan Lochte's situation, where no one knows what's going on with him, do you think that there was any sexism involved in this decision? Or is this more of a we're just tired of Hope Solo?
Well, in my Vice Sports column, I called it accidental sexism. And I think that maybe sounds like a cop-out, but the way U.S. soccer markets its men's versus its women's national team is inherently different. The men's team is just a team. It's a sports team. You root for it. They win, they lose, whatever. But the women's team, they have marketed as an inspiration to all the little girls out there. They love saying that, all the little girls out there. It's the women's team is supposed to be Title IX made manifest. It's supposed to be something for little girls to aspire to. So that's a very different set of expectations. That's implied. And so I think that the behavior that consequently is expected is different as well. There are certainly men's players who have said things and acted out, and sometimes they've been punished and sometimes they've been not. But it's what I also have a problem with, aside from this being a much harsher punishment than any man has ever gotten on the men's team for doing worse things, like, for instance, Clint Dempsey raging against the referee once in a game. That didn't get him nearly as much of a punishment as Hope Solo got. But my other issue with that is that U.S. soccer is basically saying, well, this is an accumulation of infractions. But a lot of those other infractions, they never actually punished her for. Like, for instance, when the case first was open against her, the domestic violence case, they let her keep playing. They even made her the captain for one game because it was her 200th cap, I think, to sort of reward her for that. So it feels like to retroactively punish her for things that at the time were not deemed punishable seems convenient and a little odd.
Leander Charlick, the soccer correspondent. You can read his writing, Yahoo Sports, Vice Sports Online, our guest here in the classroom. I think it's no secret that U.S. soccer and the women's national team have had something of a very contentious relationship this year, whether it's how much the women on the team are being paid or the conditions of the field that they're playing on. How do the other players on the women's national team feel about U.S. soccer essentially firing Hope Solo?
That's hard to say because the women's national team is famously a very closed shop. They don't, you know, they all sort of express their disappointment at the thing she said. They said that's not us. It's hard to know exactly how her teammates feel about it because I've always had a hard time getting a sense of how Hope Solo really fits in the locker room. The Women's Players Association's attorney has said that he's filing a grievance. He called it a First Amendment issue, which is nonsense, of course. Basically has said, you know, that this is all wrong. So officially the stance of the Women's Players Association is in support of her. But you're right, there is a contentious relationship there. The Women's National Team and U.S. Soccer haven't signed a new collective bargaining agreement in several years. They're working on a memorandum of understanding. They're negotiating a new deal. It's all very complicated. But at the same time, U.S. Soccer is arguing, well, you guys are making money for us now, but for years we invested, and they've actually gone to the women have filed a gender discrimination complaint against U.S. Soccer. So the backdrop to this is a lot of drama and a lot of strife between the two sides.
You know, where does Hope Solo, let's say she is unable to return to the national team, where does she go professionally? Will this, you know, for Ryan Lochte, he gets to go on Dancing with the Stars, and it seems like his career is going to be just fine. Do you think Hope Solo...
Didn't Hope Solo already do Dancing with the Stars?
She has done Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. So she can't do it again.
The interesting part of this is that her contract with the National Women's Soccer League, which is actually funded by U.S. Soccer, has not been voided. So she'll still be playing for the Seattle Reign. But that's actually a salary of something like $54,000 or something.
I'll take it.
So it's, you know, the Women's League is very poorly paid. So in that sense, she's not going to be paid very well. Of course, she's married to a former NFL player. She had a lot of endorsements over the years.
Yeah, that wedding's a little rocky. That marriage's a little rocky, though.
Yeah, but she's probably made her money. But she is she does seem to be at the end of the line here.
And this is kind of an extension of this. Is there fear that this might represent a new kind of overreach for national sports federations to be able to say, look, when we don't like you, we make our arbitrary rulings and we decide when and how we're going to suspend you? Is that a discussion you've heard at all?
It's problematic because U.S. Soccer never really knew what to do with Hope Solo. I mean, she was always a problem case. And when there's no precedent, they didn't really sort of have any notion of how to solve it. And I think that's why there's been such an uneven disciplinary record on her, where they just kind of did it as they went.
But didn't they not know how to solve it because they didn't want to, because she was the best goalkeeper in the world? And now that she's not really valuable to U.S. soccer anymore, they can get rid of her because she's older, the major competitions have come and gone. I mean, that has to be part of it, right?
That's a big element of it, and that's a gripe a lot of people have. They said, you know, where was all this grandstanding and all this integrity, you know, when she was arrested? And then when her husband was pulled over for a DUI while driving a team van, you know, 6 months before the World Cup, where was all this stuff back then? That's kind of what people are asking, because the way the women's calendar is structured is that you've got a Women's World Cup one summer and then the Olympics the next summer. Those are the two big tournaments. And then for the two following summers, there's absolutely nothing. And I think now for the first time, the women's national team has some alternatives to Solo. Ashlyn Harris, Alyssa Nyer, they're good goalkeepers. They're a little bit younger. They're well established, so they have some alternatives, which in the past they didn't really have either. So it seems like her behavior was condoned for a long time while the national team needed her. Hope Solo probably still is the best goalkeeper, but the drop off to her backups isn't so big. She's not so necessary. There's no major tournaments for a while. So the timing of this seems very convenient for U.S. soccer.
You know, obviously a disappointing Olympics for the women's national team. You know, there will be a drop-off in the calendar for national soccer. What is the near-future prospects for women's soccer in the United States? Do you think that, I mean, they're not going to get the spike they'd want necessarily out of the Olympics for professional soccer. Is there a plan moving forward to continue the growth of soccer in the United States for women?
Well, mostly it's got to come through the National Women's Soccer League, which is still, you know, not hemorrhaging money as such because it's such a low-budget operation, but it's still kind of struggling for relevance. I don't know that this elimination will have set the process back necessarily because they won the Women's World Cup last year and they've won four of the last five Olympic women's tournaments. But it remains a slog, and a problem that women's soccer has always had in this country is, like I said, you've got the World Cup, you've got the Olympics, and then for two summers you've got nothing. And so sort of getting through that dead zone is really, really hard when all of a sudden, rather than 60,000 people coming to national team friendlies, there's 10,000. So that's a problem that they're still trying to address, and the solution is supposed to be the National Women's Soccer League, but you know, it's still struggling to get traction a little bit.
So you've had two major moments in your life. You've bought a house, I believe, and you have a child. Which was more challenging?
Well, we actually did them at the same time.
Sure.
Our first night at the new house, this is the second place we've bought after we sold the first. Our first night at the new house, right after the renovations, was also the night that we brought our baby home.
That's crazy.
So
wow.
That was a tactical error in retrospect.
Wow. I've bought a house. I've never had a child. I assume there's way more paperwork with the house, which probably leads you to believe that we have something wrong with that process.
No, it is all right.
There's more paperwork with the house, but there's more sleep also.
So, Leanna, let me tell you this. I'll tell you this, and tell me if it confirmed this for me. I actually, when I got married, it wasn't all that big a deal to me. Like, I was like, whatever. You know, some people get real like, oh, my God, this is a huge point in my life. Two things that really shook me up. One was buying an engagement ring, and two was buying a house. Because I was like, oh, A, big money on both of these things.
It almost becomes like play money with the house. People just tell you to write checks to people you don't know for amounts you don't understand, and you just do it.
But when you buy a house together, you're like, oh, now we're really in this. Like, you know, the marriage is easy to get out of. You could get that done, taken care of in an afternoon.
Right. No, there were seminal moments for sure.
Well, on behalf of Keith and I, congratulations. And
yes,
we thank you for coming on. Leander Charlekin, soccer writer, Yahoo Sports, Vice Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Leander Alphabet because no one can spell his last name. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
This leads me to a thought. So when you buy a house, you want to sell your house,
yeah,
you have to find somebody who wants to buy your house.
Oh, I think I like where you're going here.
Imagine if divorce.
You have to find some.
Exactly.
Oh, it's just an exchange. So once you're married. So by the way, and then with this, I don't want this to be like a gender stare because women would have to do the
either
same
way.
Thing.
Either way. You have to find a taker for the other party.
I like that a lot.
Because you know what it's probably going to do? It's probably going to make divorce a lot less contentious. Because now, instead of focusing on how much you hate about the other person, you're going to focus on the positives because you're trying to sell.
The marketing.
You're trying to sell that lemon of a car.
You're not going to be like, well, the AC doesn't work when it gets hot. And, you know, the kitchen's really too narrow. Absolutely. I like that a lot. Chef's kitchen. I mean, right? He's a caring father. Wonderful head of hair. Oh, boy. That is great.
It's going to take
an ego boost, too.
It's going to take a lot of the negativity out of the process. People are going to feel a lot better about themselves.
We might have actually just started something here. So to get – it's like a no-fault divorce. Like to get divorced, you have to find – now, let's think of it this way. Because you can – when you sell a house, you have to find another taker.
Right.
Can they buy the – how is this going to work?
What do you mean?
Is it a cash exchange?
Like
they just
a
have
rebound.
To take them
out. I mean,
they
you're
just
finding
have to,
them a rebound.
You just have
no,
to,
not necessarily. Not necessarily.
No. That's not – no. This is not a – this is not a – someone has to live in this house.
Then you're not renting.
That's true. That's the other option.
Which,
if you no longer want your spouse, can you just
–
can you say, look,
people,
the market's really bad right now. I'm just going to rent – I'm just going to rent him out for a while.
And let's face it. I think there's a whole new market space for Airbnb.
I like this a lot. I'm just going to rent out my husband.
People have thought of this before.
Imagine imagine this side of it. Say you have a great husband or wife,
but you want it. But now you know they're at their peak value. You've got Brad Pitt at 40, but you know it's a depreciating asset.
Brad Pitt will never depreciate.
Well, no.
Time is undefeated, Anna.
Look, Robert Redford's still a catch, but he was a catch 25 years ago. A lot more.
They get better with it.
No, they don't. No. That's a myth. So
he tells himself every day.
No. I mean, look, I'm right at my peak right now.
I'm sorry?
Right in this very...
That's right. At this particular... Well, the outfit I'm in right now.
He's wearing bike
today?
Shorts.
I'm wearing... Let's ask the swimmer. Anna, are these pants?
No, those are not pants.
You walk around in a Speedo all day.
Walk around in a Speedo. She wears it when competing.
That's not true.
He has seen me in a bathing suit more than I'd like to admit because he's always in the pool.
But that's fine. You should wear that in the pool. If you were in the
Are not pants. Those are bike shorts.
It's not like you're walking around wearing a full outfit
day
as well.
For
you're
all
wearing
these
a
young
tank top.
People, and you're not wearing pants.
What?
It's move-in day for all these freshmen, and you're not wearing pants.
Mike brings up an excellent point.
That is an excellent
we
point.
Don't want to scare the kids.
Today is freshman move-in day at Marist College. Yeah. They almost denied me a regular parking space because of it. I wasn't having that.
Denied me.
Oh, they didn't let you in?
No.
Oh, I got in.
He's like, nah, he's from here. We don't need to give him a
parking
threw around
the show title.
And you're walking around pantsless.
I'm not walking around. I'm on a bike.
You're
so when I'm on
kids.
A bike, it looks completely natural that I would be doing that. I'd be wearing pants, by the way, biking shorts. So let's refer to them by their actual moniker. They're biking shorts.
Basically spandex. Underwear.
No.
They're spandex.
No, I have underwear on underneath. By the way, not everyone does
Russian
that.
Shorts.
Yeah, because it's not healthy.
To wear underwear?
It's healthier to...
There's a chafing issue people have.
Think of the ventilation.
People have it, so the biking shorts are constructed to not necessarily need underpants, but I tend to like an extra layer.
I mean, what is the difference though between like biking shorts and just spandex?
Speedo?
There isn't
spandex.
One.
Like
spandex
like,
is like
what
the kind of fabric. I mean, spandex is like
that,
the material.
Yeah,
right,
but
spandex
like people,
shorts.
But we refer to spandex as like
spandex
shorts. Yeah.
There's a pad.
There's a pad.
Yeah.
I imagine
for the seat.
Yes.
For the seat.
Yes.
Yes.
There's a little pad.
Makes sense.
Okay, so it doesn't always have to hurt when you ride a bike. Is what you're saying.
You still have to get used to it. You still have to, kind of get used to it.
And wear shorts.
I'm thinking about doing triathlons.
So,
I'm a swimmer.
So you need to, I can walk you through this.
Have to do it on air.
No, this is riveting. Go ahead. Mike and I are just going to step over here.
You'll need to get some biking shorts. You need a bike, obviously. Because it's hard to do.
Yeah.
The biking shorts on their own, not going to get you very far. You get some running shoes. There are biking shorts. And then you'll get on the seat. Your body will get used to sitting on that seat. I could sit on that seat all day. It's like an office chair to me now.
Sorry, everyone, but we have to go to commercial break. More of the classroom ahead. Foxville 2097.3 ESPN Radio. Back in the classroom, where we are just solving the world's issues today.
I think it'll be a lot better when we get the interns back and get on a schedule.
I mean, I'll be honest.
It's not freeform jazz or Odyssey.
I think if we were in charge of society,
it'd be a much better place. Fire
and
brimstone.
Lower those eyebrows, Adam. Lower those eyebrows.
I don't know if you want it, because then we wouldn't be allowed to eat meat.
No, that's not true. Because for every animal Keith Strohler doesn't eat, I'm eating three.
Okay, then we're fine.
First of all, we will have bears in every household. Bear will be
tough.
I really do want to see one of those sun bears. One of those sun bears.
This is actually why I think this would be a good partnership to manage society, because we do feel you would be pro bear in every house, and I'm fully anti bear in every house. So there'd be a lot of gridlock. There'd be a lot of gridlock.
Right. So, but I do like the you have to. I mean, look, there's a lot of kinks we'd have to work out in the divorce plan, like how you make that work, and then there's going to be that's the other problem. There's going to be like 1,000 exceptions, and so we're already creating like a. Another IRS here.
But here's the good thing about it. It takes it from a fully negative process to a positive process.
I think in theory it's actually a really strong – I think there are a lot of people out there that probably are sitting around saying that's great. I'd like to find someone else for my partner. Now, here's the thing. When you do that, do you think there's some jealousy though?
It's possible.
Seller's remorse.
It's possible.
You start looking at all the good parts of the person that you're about
to divorce. Well, but all of a sudden you ship your mate off to the
– You can also – listen, it's not irrevocable. Just because your house is on the market doesn't mean you can't pull that for sale sign right out of the yard.
Sentimental value.
If this is how we can work it, you also come to the realization if you are married and you know the way out is through an act of commerce, you also start to realize that everything in this world has a price tag. At some point, you're going to be sitting around and someone's going to walk up. Like, look, there are houses that are not for sale. They're just houses. But if someone walks up with a big enough check,
it's true.
It happens. I know people who have sold their property when they had no intention of ever selling their property. Someone comes by with a big enough check. So let's say you're in a relatively happy marriage. And then all of a sudden, someone comes to my wife and says, look, that husband of yours, he's a Hong Konga, you know, something special. So
should have just gone with burning love.
and here's my number. And she's able to sell me for. We are now getting into an area of human trafficking.
Well, it's not selling. There's no exchange of currency. You don't buy them as you buy a house.
That makes it cleaner.
You find someone to take them.
Right. Just wants to be with them.
Yes. It's not. There's not like a bidding process involved. That's not good. Not good. That's not what we want.
Okay.
That is not what we want.
Starting to get the details worked out.
You have to find someone to take them emotionally.
I'd actually like that.
To have and to hold.
So I could find some
emotional traffic.
I could find, because I am, I don't know if this
that
is clear.
Anyway.
I am very emotionally needy.
No way.
I am.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, you are.
As if this is telling us something we don't know.
I don't know if that's clear. Like I need constant affirmation. Constant. Like the fact that no one is tweeting at me right now telling me you're doing a nice job today. It's bothering me a little bit. So I need constant affirmation.
I think you're at a point in your life where people don't think you need the affirmation.
What do you? At what point in my life? I'm still. I might be a successful man, but I'm still a man.
Can we talk about something else?
That's from Bill Clinton. That's the Saturday Night Live Bill Clinton skit. He's like, I may be the president, but I'm still a man.
You do the worst. That is the worst Clinton I've ever heard.
Yeah, like, what?
Do your Clinton again. Ask what the definition of is.
You gotta go,
what? Well, it depends what your definition
is. Oh, my God. No, cut him off.
Like you sound like, a southern, like a... I do declare it is hot on the porch today.
I'm like Colonel Sanders.
Try our extra crispy.
Was that cartoon character like a
Foghorn Leghorn?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's who he sounds like.
All right. We got one more.
I don't do imitation.
We got one more labor dispute to talk about in the classroom this morning.
By the way, our fight take it to the man.
Or fight the power show?
Fight the power show. That's been a very light on the tone.
Less of a fight and more of a mild disagreement with the power. Joey Bosa in the NFL, drafted by the Chargers. He has not yet agreed to a rookie contract. Rookie contracts now under the current CBA in the NFL are very much slotted in terms of how much money you can give them. So there's not a lot to negotiate about. You obviously can negotiate about the size of the signing bonus. That typically falls in. You get a little less than the guy who's picked before you, a little more than the guy who's picked after you. You can fight now about how that contract is structured. And that's what Joey Bosa and the Chargers are fighting about, something called offset language. The Chargers are saying that they have offered Joey Bosa an initial signing bonus payment plan that would be the highest an NFL rookie has received in 2 years. He would make more money in this calendar year than any other player drafted this year, except for Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz, and he will receive a higher percentage of his signing bonus this year than any Charger rookie has in team history under this new collective bargaining agreement. Joey Bosa has basically said to that, I'm not signing that deal because of offset language. And what offset language essentially means is that if Joey Bosa turns out to not be a very good football player, a bust, if you will, and the Chargers cut him before the end of his rookie contract, and he signs with another team, he would essentially owe the Chargers relief on guaranteed money left on that contract as a percentage of whatever he signs his new contract for. So if the Chargers owe him $6 million, or owe him $4 million, and he gets cut, and he signs somewhere for $2 million, instead of making $6 million, instead of getting paid from both teams with the guarantee and the contract, he would have to give the difference back to the Chargers. So it basically sets a new market value.
Yeah.
And he's refusing to sign that contract because he says, well, why should your bad personnel decision reflect on me as a player. So he's standing firm and saying he's not going to sign a contract with offset language. Should be noted that Carson Wentz and Ezekiel Elliott, the two players picked, you know, bookending him in the draft at 2 and 4, they both signed contracts with the offset language. So the Chargers are holding firm. They say every rookie signs with offset language. It's just how we do it. It's how it is. You should take it too. We're offering you plenty of other things. He's standing firm. He's saying, I'm not going to sign that deal. I'm not going to put your personnel decision on my shoulders. If you make a bad play, that's not my fault. We're going to sign a contract. You're going to fulfill the terms of that contract, whether it works out well or poorly.
I do like how the players are put in the position to say, look, it's not my fault that I stink.
That's not how contracts work. You're going to make a deal, and the team is going to say, I guarantee to pay you this much money. And that means they guarantee to pay you that
contract,
much money.
Everyone who signs a year-long contract, that your employer knows that's the deal. You made a gamble on someone. And conversely, they would say, look, if you're better than we thought, you got to play it out.
Right.
That's what the employer argues all the time. These teams argue all the time in the NFL, like, look, we're not renegotiating. You're under contract.
Yes.
Particularly, obviously, with the rookie contracts, where there's nothing they can do.
You look at Russell Wilson. The reason the Seahawks were so successful the last number of years is because they had Russell Wilson for a song.
Right.
I don't even think he was making $1 million.
No, he wasn't. I think it was like $500,000 at some point.
So they had Russell Wilson for nothing. So you've got an NFL
elite, top five quarterback.
NFL quarterback making no money. So you can spread that money around to other positions on your team and have a very, very strong team.
Sure.
So it absolutely works both ways. The NFL, I don't even think it's arguable, has the worst players union.
Yep.
You can cut a, you know, you sign it. I love it. We signed him to a 27-year, $4 billion contract.
No difference.
He's expected to be on the team for the next year and a half. Yeah. Like, you can just cut him and the language is gone. That's why it's the opposite of baseball, where they sign someone
and then their team pays for it for the next 20 years.
Alex Rodriguez won't swing a bat for the next 2 years. Yes. He'll clear $21 million. Yes.
That's great.
You know, I actually heard the labor relations people. They give a speech to us at Major League Baseball about how the arbitrations happen, and it is a process.
Oh, yeah.
Arbitrations?
Arbitrations. Yeah. And
I don't think I'd enjoy sitting through that.
Oh, my God. It's
So you had the labor people up.
Yep.
They all get along?
Actually, they're smart. I mean, they actually have a team of economists with the lawyers.
Yes.
So it's kind of a really cool – I mean – I didn't know how any of it worked, and then I learned that the NFL
point of procedure
mess.
Anna was an intern at the MLB commissioner's office.
Yes. Where, if you weren't listening to the top of the show, brought a gift back for Keistrother, who hates baseball but nothing for me, who loves the game.
But again, the important part here, which you're also clearly not referring to, is the fact that I facilitated this internship. In fact,
important point, I did nothing to harm the relationship.
In fact, this process actually happened when Anna said, hey, I'm looking for something, and I happened to have at that particular moment someone, an Marist alumni who works at the commissioner's office, who was looking, and we were able to make that connection. You, on the other hand, did nothing, and now are looking for some kind of gift.
I'm just saying,
you're the freeloader.
Point of procedure. Point of procedure.
You're a freeloader of society.
Point of procedure. If you're going to give someone a gift in a room with other people who are also worthy of gifts.
you're not.
That gift been given in private, fine. Fine with that. Don't wave it in front of my face.
It is awkward.
I don't want to see your gift.
Well, it's like
when I don't have a gift.
It's like
I hope you brought enough for everybody.
It's like when you're giving out invitations to a party and only some people are getting invited.
It's just high school all over again.
What's that?
People do that?
Well, nobody hands out invitations anymore because we have this thing called the internet. however, in Keistrother's time, before people had, you know, email and instant message and Twitter and Snapchat, you actually had to hand people, if you wanted them to come to your party, a piece of paper that said where and when that party would be taking place.
That still happens, by the way,
for people that have formal weddings in Boca Raton, Florida.
I can't believe.
On three-day weekends.
Well, the three-day weekend is, what am I going to do about that?
No, it's not your fault. The people getting married shouldn't do that.
No, I don't think they're listening. They're in Dallas.
I hope they are listening. I hope they download our podcast and realize what a mistake they have made.
Well, here, I don't mind. See, but
then
you won't
even have to go.
It's a Jewish wedding, and Jewish weddings often are on Sundays.
That's fine.
But then I'm going to have to take Monday off anyway.
You know, well, if you have to travel to the destination wedding. But another great excuse for you to check the no box on the RSVP.
I can't not go to this. It's like my wife's first cousin kind of deal. I got
to
go.
Seems far enough removed to me.
Weddings are fun. It'll be fun once you get there.
No, it won't.
Yes.
No.
Are the kids going? Do you have to bring the kids?
No, I'm just going to leave them in the house. I'm going to lock the door. I'm going to lock the door and
be fine.
Make sure they actually. I'm sure they would be fine.
They are self-sufficient.
But I'm no.
Boys.
I'm good. Yes, the kids are coming. We're all going to Boca. And no, wait. Now you got me started. All right.
Why?
Now it gets worse.
Not
so
have
let's
done
let's
this.
Let, let,
no.
All right.
Do this.
No. All right. If we're going to really talk about this, so here's and I know we've got to finish this labor stuff. So here, let me put a bow on that thing.
Yeah. Sure.
Your Chargers, you suck. Give the guy. You shouldn't do this. We know that the players, it's time for the players to unite. You should be getting guaranteed contracts, guaranteed money. You're already putting yourself at risk for concussions and all the trauma that comes with that. It's time for players to take a stand. Let's put, all right, players right, owners wrong. There's you want the guarantee. Done. Finished. Put a bow on that guy. All right, now, let's get to the wedding. Not only is the problem... That I got to go to this wedding and wear a tuxedo, a wool tuxedo, while I'm in a furnace. I'm a furnace of probably getting the Zika virus because I'm only a few miles out of that. So who knows how that's gonna? Now I'll never have kids, right? So now I'm riffing now.
You already have two kids.
Yeah. So now, Andra's going. That's right. She's going to a conference leaving on Sunday to D.C. to do God knows what, right? Because she's doing some big IBM security conference where I'm sure they're eating caviar every night. And I'm dealing with the kids and making sure that the house runs. And she's not even coming back to help with this trip. She's just going to fly down to Boca on Friday. I got to get these kids on a plane and get them down there and meet them there. So by the time I show up, I'm already in a foul mood because I just spent 12 hours carting these kids through, airport security. Who knows if I'll even have my wallet at that point? Because as you know, listeners, I lost my wallet in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. If you're listening in Jackson Hole and you have my wallet, send it back to me, for God's sake. Keep the cash and send me back my wallet. I mean, have a heart. For the love of God. So at any rate, I'm going to get there and I'm going to show up with these tuxedos, a tuxedo, and I'm going to be miserable. All right? So it's not even like I'm going to be happy when I get there.
Stop looking at me. I'm not the one who said this is going to be fun. Anna said it would be fun.
I love that.
I don't think you should be going.
It's not going to be fun, Anna. It's not going to be fun at all. If it were going to be fun, it's not going to be fun. Food better be good. I'll tell you that.
I was gonna say
buffet or menu.
Like, I'm not walking up to a buffet.
So what'd you order? See, I imagine you have to order the vegetarian option, and that's never good at a banquet hall. It's
awful.
Never good because you know what you get? You get all of the sides from all of the
yourself.
Other entrees.
No. This
you
well, you
did
can.
This
do,
to yourself.
Oh, but a vegetable tray could be very nice.
A little crudité.
No. They can do it. I don't. Oh boy, now I think it's going to be a seated wedding.
So you haven't ordered yet. So it wasn't like on the you
no,
didn't check
I,
out
I don't,
the invitation.
I don't. I actually Andra did this. I don't know. I don't know if I. I didn't reply. I assume I'm getting. Let me put it this way. I'm going to say this right now. I'm not getting my rear end up to go get food. Someone's bringing it to me. I don't care if it's buffet. But someone, I don't care if I have to send the kids out and be like, I'll tell them what I want. I'm not going to get food at this wedding in my tuxedo because I'm going to be sweating so much. Nothing against buffets. Buffets have their place. But if I'm in formal attire, I don't need to be serving myself, right?
I think if I'm in formal attire
and I'm serving, I'm a waiter.
I think we're just at different
Take
parts,
it to commercial.
Parts of our
now
life
you got me
right
all
now.
Heated up.
I think, I would be excited about the free food and alcohol and the party.
All right.
And that's...
That's fine. That's you. That's you're 21 and free is great. I don't need this aggravation. If not free, I got to fly two kids down to Boca and stay at a 5-star hotel. Take us to commercial, please. I'm digging a hole.
Grades of the week are next. This is The Classroom, Fox 12, 2097.3 ESPN Radio. Ooh, what a show we've had for you this morning. We've talked about labor disputes in sports and how Keith Strudler's not excited to go to this wedding.
That's not true.
We've also talked about...
I've painted myself in
that
a really...
That is true. You said you were going to make yourself get heat stroke.
We've learned I'm the only person in this room that doesn't want to pet a bear. So the only one with any sense. And we have solved our country's divorce crisis. 50% of all marriages end in divorce. There's a lot of animosity there, but
is that
not anymore.
Actually the statistic?
I believe it's actually 51, though. I think we're upside down on marriages.
Really?
I think more marriages end in divorce than stay together at this point. It's very close. It's almost 50-50.
That's interesting.
And I think those are actual
numbers.
You're
just doing it for the wedding at that point.
I assume most people, when they get married, are doing it for the right reasons. And then they realize
because
they're
about to have a child.
And then they realize, you know, life happens.
I don't like this person.
Yeah. Well, apparently you and Mike Wallace are going to get married.
Yeah.
Clashing wedding? If you get married, can it happen on air?
Well, I'll say this. I will, and I'll agree to it now, I will get ordained to do this.
To do it?
I would like to announce the wedding party at the reception, please. Mm.
Are you going to stand there with like a stick, and you're going to stand at the door, and you're going to yell the names?
Hear ye, hear ye.
I'm sorry. What's the point of the stick?
Those people have. You know, the people that stand there and call out the names at a party, they always have a stick.
A stick?
Like a big, it's like a
wand.
Like a staff?
All right, like
I don't know, like a
can
wand.
Can
I
give you some grades? Like,
can I yell, none shall pass? Okay. These are your grades of the week.
And now for your grades of the week.
Clemson University is slated to open a $55 million, 140,000 square foot football facility next year. This isn't a practice bubble. This is essentially clubhouse for the Clemson University football team. It features an awful lot more than a locker room. Amenities in this $55 million facility include a barbershop, a bowling alley, a room for laser tag, a billiards and ping pong room, a full-size basketball court, an outdoor mini golf course and indoor golf simulator, plus a 24-seat high-definition movie theater. All of that, along with a football-only cafeteria and weight room and coaches' offices and player locker room and lounge and all of that fun stuff. $55 million clubhouse for the Clemson University football team.
That's why they got rid of the swim program. Yeah.
Keith Strudler. Great.
That's an A. Well, now, is that also the one that has a nap space? Did you say
yes, it has a nap room. Yes, right. I forgot the dedicated five swimming pools, nutrition center, and dedicated nap room.
So what's interesting, when the story was first released, everyone jumped on the nap room.
Google has a nap room, by the way.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen that on the movie The Internship.
There's it was shown on that, the nap pods.
Yes.
The reason they do that, by the way, is not because they're being nice to you. It's because
they want
you to spend more time
there. Of course. They want you to spend your entire life there. So I would say I have a nap room here. It's called my office.
That's all it's used for.
Just put my head down for a second. So, look, you've napped in an office before.
Of course.
It's great. It's luxurious.
George Costanza used to sleep under his desk.
So, and I can nap. Like, my office is very conducive for nap.
You wisely have no windows that face a hallway. Like, nobody can see into your office.
I've got a huge buffer zone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only people that can watch me are those hedgehogs outside. So, and they do. They do. I pet those, too.
Groundhogs.
Yeah, they're nice.
Hedgehogs and groundhogs are very different.
No, they're the same thing. They're just like, and they're also related to the, I believe, related to the beaver and the otter. So, all right. So
a hedgehog? Oh, that
all the same. All right.
I can't even.
So I believe all marsupials. So when that story broke, everyone jumped on the nap room. And they actually gave a defensible position. Like, look, athletes are, you know, college athletes are sleep deprived, and we're giving them a chance to – they're here all the time. We're giving them a chance to catch up on their sleep. I actually bought into that. I was like, yeah. No, I mean, that is actually the case. They are very busy schedules. Most college football players, that actually made perfect sense to me. It helped your academic and athletic performance. The bowling alleys and the laser tag seemed to defy that whole ethos. If you were building a facility that simply made it better for college athletes to perform both in school and in athletics, that would be great. And, you know, a couple of maybe a video game room, that's fine. The rest is ridiculous. It does make a farce of it. Here's the other side of it. You're going to spend $55 million on college sports. Why not just pay the players?
But is this just for football?
Yes.
So that's ridiculous. I mean, that's
not they're
fair.
The only ones making money. Right,
but
so I'm saying if you're going to spend $55 million on football, pay the players.
It's not even
make sense.
Yeah,
it does make sense.
Right, you want a grade?
Yes. You gave us an A at the beginning, but it felt a little facetious.
It's more like a C.
There was a plan. Somebody said that if Clemson University spent $55 million on a football-only space, that it should actually be open to all of the faculty as well.
A. I'd take that laser tag to town. Oh, man. I'd love that.
Guys, we're going to have class in the laser tag arena today.
I may or may not see you.
It's all the time we got in the classroom this morning. We had
very
a really
strange,
good discussion about, you know, labor in sports, across all different sports, right. Marathon running, soccer, NFL football.
I feel like I may have gotten myself in trouble today with my family.
You may have.
You definitely right. did.
You may have.
Right.
What, but the good news is, if your wife wants to divorce you, as we've learned now, she's got to take all the animosity out of it and promote your good qualities so you can find another mate.
She's going to have to find. Do I have to agree to the mate, or could she just ship me off to whoever I want?
Like, I think you'd have to agree.
All right.
You have to find a mutually beneficial agreement
here. It's actually a win-win.
You can direct message Soledad O'Brien.
Now you're being smart.
Don't forget to follow The Classroom on Twitter at @ESPN_classroom. Like us on Facebook, ESPN The Classroom. Archives of this and most of our recent past episodes available on iTunes in the podcast section. Search for ESPN The Classroom. For Mike, Anna, Dr. Keith Strudler, I'm Jeff Brawl. Thanks for hanging out in The Classroom this week, your weekly Smart Look at Sports. We're back with you next Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon, right here on Fox 1220 97.3 ESPN Radio. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, everyone. Class dismissed.